Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, if you want something to wear from some of the best designers in the world, you could hit up a department store like Barney's or Bloomingdale's. But when you get to the boutiques, the options in Chicago are limited. Unless, of course, you know Ikram Goldman. My guest tonight at the big table is one of Chicago's true pioneers in the world of high fashion. Ikram Goldman is behind the fashion boutique Ikram, located in the Gold Coast. She caters to the rich and famous Chicago's elite that want the best that the fashion world has to offer. And Ikram Goldman is not just a well-known Chicagoan. No, she's world-renowned, revered and respected by designers and fashionistas all over the world, which is pretty amazing since the fashion world doesn't really see Chicago as a destination. Ikram and Josh Goldman are celebrating the 15th anniversary of the boutique this year, and it's my pleasure to welcome who Vogue called the first lady of fashion to the big table tonight. Ikram Goldman, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It really is amazing that Chicago really, I've never really thought of Chicago as a fashion town. But you, I mean, you stand on the show. I mean, you are one of the elite when it comes to the fashionistas in the world. How is that possible?
So I don't like to use the word elite because I think fashion is in everybody's universe. And it's an expression, and it's expressed in different ways. And I'm more editorial, and that's really important for me to define that because you can go into The Gap or J. Crew, and you can buy incredible fashion that fits into your idea of what fashion is. But if you're flipping through the magazines of Vogue, and you're looking at something incredibly editorial and special from certain designers, Our store is definitely the place to come and find those pieces.
So that's what, when I say high fashion, that's what that means. The stuff that you see in the Vogues and the magazines where it's the first part of all the great ads that are at the top.
Right.
Not necessarily what I'm wearing.
Well, I mean, I think what you're wearing, actually, I clocked it when I first walked in, is actually a really nice representation in a world where most people don't really care about the way they look anymore. And I think it's really important that when you present yourself, you present yourself in the way that not only how do you feel, but also how is somebody going to perceive you. And if you're wearing a really nice pink and white check shirt, that's a statement. It's a freeing statement to be able to do that. But on the flip side, I'm also the person who, if you are sitting with me or if we're out at dinner together and you don't shop at my store, it doesn't really matter how you dress as long as you feel comfortable. But if you do shop at my store, it is incredibly important that you look the way that I want you to look.
I have so many questions. All right, so let's start at the beginning. How did you get into this? I mean, because this was not necessarily your first passion.
Right.
You came here. Talk about that.
So I think, like most girls growing up, I mean, I would dress my dolls and it was super fun. I grew up in Israel and I went to a Catholic school and I wore a uniform every day, but it was always impeccable. It was a beautiful, if you look at Comme des Garçons, which is a Japanese house, and you look at the clothes from Comme des Garçons, there's a uniform that is what I grew up wearing. And there's a very energizing feeling when I see that collection because it reminds me of everything I loved about my childhood. And so it's this navy kind of a dress with pleating on the bottom, and the pleating is done in the perfect size so you never looked big or you never looked off. It was just the perfect amount of pleating, and it had an open back so you had to wear a shirt under it, and the shirt was always white and crisp.
So this uniform was the beginning.
But I was also wild in the way that I wanted to dress, and so I would always line up all of my dolls and I would dress them up in different ways. And when I was young, I always thought that I would open up a children's clothing store because I was a child and that was really important to me. But ultimately, I got really lucky. I landed a job with a woman by the name of Joan Weinstein. And if I say her name once a day, it's not enough. I probably say it 100 times a day. And I think about her infinitely. She was the pioneer in this industry anywhere that you went. I'll tell you a very quick and very funny story.
Jeez,
about her.
We've got the whole hour.
Joan Weinstein was, we went on a first buying trip together after I'd been working with her for a few years.
And her store was Ultimo.
Sorry, I meant to say that. Ultimo, which was the big store on Oak Street, and we went to New York together. And we were in a car, and it was a black sedan, and we got out of the car, and I got out quickly to open up the door for Joan. And when Joan got out, she stopped And I thought, why is she not getting out of the car? And I looked up, and I saw another woman who stopped equally in the same kind of a shocking stance. And it was Jacqueline Kennedy and Joan Weinstein got up, curtsied to each other, and kept walking past each other. She had that kind of presence.
That's the best way to describe somebody. You just did it.
Right.
But working for her, I mean, you were working in her store.
Absolutely,
years. We'll talk about that relationship, because what did you learn from that? Being a salesperson in Ultimo.
I think it was more than just selling. It was a feeling that she sold you, and it was something that you felt like it was okay to fall in love with these elements of her world. And it was everything from the big porcupine hair pieces that she would put in her hair to the big marabou coat that she would walk down the street and feathers would leave, would be falling behind, to a very simple jumpsuit that you thought only a certain kind of woman could wear, when in fact any kind of woman could wear. And so she taught me the sense of believing in the idea of exploration and really diving into a lot of the pieces that I now dive into fearlessly. In addition, she also, in a world, I have a little bit of a background, which is, as I mentioned, I'm from Israel, born and raised. I came to this country, barely spoke the language, and when I landed on her doorstep, she was so loving and so welcoming, and it was such a beautiful way to accept a foreigner who, in a different circumstance, I may not have been as welcomed. And she enriched my life in all kinds of ways and introduced me to all of the right elements of the business, how to do a buy, how to dress someone,
right.
What are the basic things in a wardrobe.
What did you know going in? Did you know enough to be at the table?
And so I don't want to say that I know enough, and I never know enough, and
okay.
I still don't know enough. And if I'm not learning today, then I'm really not an interesting person. I think you're only as interesting as you keep learning and absorbing, and I think that's a really important part of my life. But I also believe that you have to start out with something. It doesn't matter what it is. I think if you want to be a doctor, you start out with a base.
Right,
if you want to be a garbage man, you start out with a base.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a fashion person, you start out with
you gotta
a base.
You got to have some understanding of what you're getting into.
And so to me, I started out with a base of really loving, really and truly loving fashion. But it didn't define me.
Ikram Goldman is my guest tonight, as Vogue calls her, the first lady of fashion. Her store, Ikram, is celebrating its 15th anniversary this year. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Ikram Goldman here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Ikram Goldman, one of the great fashion people of Chicago, of the world. As I said, Vogue called you the first lady of fashion. You've been profiled by the New York Times, all over the place. You go to Fashion Week in New York City or anywhere around the world, people take notice that you're there. The store, Ikram, at 15-year anniversary this year. Before the break, we're talking about what you learned when you went to work at Ultimo with Joan. As that materialized, it's interesting because you talked about how to do a buy, what goes in a wardrobe, all the kind of things that, it's almost like that's the master class, the idea that it's one thing to know what goes into a wardrobe, but then there's another to know what goes in a wardrobe.
Right. And I think that, I only did jewelry buys with Joan. I didn't really do the ready-to-wear. But what I did learn under working for Joan was, when she bought something that looked like it would never in a million years be perceived other than a garment on a rack, was actually the first thing that people couldn't live without. And so it was the idea of really opening your eyes to something that you're not used to and something different. And that really is what fashion is all about.
I hear all the time you in different interviews and talk about your love of Chicago and bringing fashion back or being a part of this town and staying here. You mentioned Oak Street, you mentioned Ultimo and some of the stores there. Are you a study of the history of the fashion scene here in Chicago?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know, just to go back to the love of the city, I I love this city, but I love it on so many layers. I love it because it's the city that I grew up. I love it because it's the city where I have my closest, my nearest and dearest. But I also love it because it is the one place where people from all over the world, where they come to visit me, they're blown away by the beauty and the level of organization in this city. It's a clean city. It's the most beautiful architecture. People here dress unbelievably well. The restaurant scene is phenomenal. Movie theaters are clean.
Do people come here for fashion?
Yes, they do. For me, in my store, they come, they fly from all over the world to come and shop at our store. I mean, I've had people from Europe. I continuously have people from New York. I have, you know, luckily we are on the map in terms of a place, a destination for people to find specific things. And I have a lot of stylists who'll call me up and say, you know, we called the designer, you're the only store that bought this particular piece, can we please get it? And of course, my ultimate goal is to sell the piece, because that's the idea, is to sell it so somebody else can wear it. But often I find myself being really protective, giving up some of those pieces because I want my girls in the city to actually wear
them.
You
don't want to give that up, right?
I don't. And it's and I'm very proud to say that they really do get first dibs on what those pieces are.
I'm just amazed because, you know, I don't know much about the fashion industry, but I do know just in this country, I mean, I think, you know, when you think of high-end industry, you think New York City, maybe a little Beverly Hills in there. I'm not sure if that plays in the fashion world. So it's surprising to hear that people would fly from New York or from L.A. or from other places to Chicago to come to your store. What do you think it is? What is it that brings people to Ikram?
It's a real edited editorial story.
So it's your voice.
It is really, really edited. And it's edited in a way that actually you need to have someone help you there in order for you to have the full package. Yes, you can come off the street, and yes, you can come in and shop. But at the end of the day, it's the way that we put things together and the way that we style them that people really love. And we are very honorable in terms of, if a certain person has a certain lifestyle, we go with that lifestyle and we insert some of our vision, but we honor the overall of the person.
I mean, that's a big part of what you do, your relationships with your customers. I mean, because like you just mentioned, I mean, it's not the kind of store that people are walking down here on. They're like, oh, sale, I'm going here. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about.
Right.
But, I mean, this is something where you have return clientele. People want to get dressed up for big events. I mean, it's not a cheap endeavor.
Right.
But the concept being that for you to be able to have a sustainable business in Chicago, it's about your relationships to these customers.
Right.
How does that work? How does that work for you?
So I think that, you know, for us, we've developed such an incredible, solid following in the city where the clients in Chicago really look to us to go out and find the pieces for them. And because I am fearless in the way that I buy for the store, I'm the buyer fully for the entire store, although I have people who might travel with me and help me with certain elements. At the end, it's really of one vision that sees the whole picture. Unlike department stores, for example, where they have different buyers. So a big department store might have a person's that specialty is pants or specialty is jackets. But the jackets and the pants aren't talking to each other. And so you're buying this jacket that doesn't go with this pant, and it doesn't really make any sense. And when you go into the store, you're actually, your peripheral vision is seeing a jacket that doesn't go with a pant, and you're confused. Whereas when you come into our store, it may not make sense, but you see the relation between them. And then when you have someone style it for you, pull it from the rack and say, this is the whole look, and you see it as a complete look, it's actually what our regular clients, what the people come back for time and time again.
It's fascinating to me because that's one thing I've read about you, is that customer experience. The other is your relationship with designers. I mean, this is something that you just said yourself, you know, you're the buyer, you're the one that goes out. Talk about that, what you're looking for in a good design. Is it, you know, how it looks? Is it the color? Is it, wow, that really blew me? Is it the craftsmanship? Is it that's really well made? What is it when you're going out to buy that you're looking for in a designer?
Obviously, there are a lot of different aspects to this. The first one is, who are the well-knowns? I mean, are you looking at people like Chanel and Gucci, who are a given that they're going to be a phenomenal collection season after season after season, no questions
asked.
They're
the ones. They're amazing.
Or if you're looking at collections that are mainstream, up-and-coming designers that people keep their eyes on, whether it's a collection from Nina Ricci or a Japanese designer like Sakai. And then there are the unknowns, the people that have really, that no one's ever heard of, like the L'Horlogettes or the Mouvets. And as I say these names to you, I'm sure you're looking at me thinking, what on God's green earth is she saying? But the truth is, when you see them in the way they're curated, it's very important to me what these, to obviously have the brand names and the editorial names, but it's really also very important that the pieces are beautifully made so they're not falling apart at mm-hmm. the seam mm-hmm. on our clients, and that they give you a feeling of confidence so that you're planted on your feet mm-hmm. as you're wearing them. I think that's really important. And so when I go into a showroom, and I often do, I actually sit with the designer, because as much as they need my sale, I need them to understand what my clients are like. And so I will sit with a designer and I'll spend a really long time talking to them about fit, production, deliveries, things that, what to spend their money on and things that they shouldn't even spend their money on. And a lot of my time is spent specifically on that when I'm on the road. And I allocate a lot of time throughout the year to nurture and foster those relationships with designers. And you can call on designers anywhere. All the designers that I've worked with in the past, even ones that I no longer have relationships with because for whatever reason, whether they've gone out of business or they're still in business, but things just mm-hmm. didn't continue between us. The thing that people will always say is that I truly fostered that relationship and I really got it to a level where I feel it's very successful. Now, there are people in this industry who think because they love fashion that they can just get into it. Sadly, it's much bigger than that.
We got to talk about that. And we'll talk about feeling and talk about relationship. Let's take a quick break for the news. Ikram Goldman, my guest tonight at the big table, Vogue called her the First Lady of Fashion. She's been profiled everywhere. She is Chicago's connection to the fashion world. We'll continue our conversation with Ikram Goldman here at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight at the big table, Ikram Goldman, behind the store Ikram here in Chicago, the boutique that's celebrating its 15th anniversary. I hesitate to use the term high fashion, but it is. I mean, let's just say it. It's high fashion. And Ikram has been called by Vogue the First Lady of Fashion and really, truly has brought high fashion to Chicago. We talk about that idea of feeling. And I've always had this question about how much of fashion and trends and everything involved with the industry, how much of it is, this is a really great piece of art and this is a really great fabric, and how much of it is feeling? How much of it is almost over in the line of like popularity or marketing?
I think 100% is all feeling. 100%. It can be the most spectacular thing in the universe and you could be the only person to be lucky enough to wear it. But if it doesn't give you the feeling, it doesn't work. So I really do believe that you have to, in my position, I empower women to feel the freedom to be able to wear the items that they wear.
What we see from New York Fashion Week, or we see from other places, is just something going down a runway, and we're like, someone's going to wear that? That's something that's going to be wearing. But this makes a little bit more sense to me that it is about feeling. That thing that's on that runway that you're like, there, that looks like someone's wearing a bird.
Right.
But that's not really about necessarily like buying a shirt at the Gap. That's about feeling.
Right. And you have to have a connection with that bird. And it can be a beautiful bird or it can be a crazy skeleton of a bird, but you have to have a connection to it, and that connection has to resonate so deep in order for you to wear it and really be able to go out and be fearless. I have no question that I will always buy the most exquisite, most avant-garde pieces. But I also believe that if women are not taking the step towards that sense of solid feeling, then you're not, then it wouldn't work.
It's interesting to me because I've heard you use the word fearless a couple times in this interview. And I was reading the New York Times profile that there's a little bit of fear with the designers when it comes to the relationship with you.
Right.
You know, you come in, I mean, the way they kind of set that profile up from a couple of years ago was, here comes Ikram Goldman, watch out. But that's part of it, of you coming in. And I think what that means is that connection you talked about where you sit down with the designer and say, this is what I need.
Right.
Not necessarily, I'm not coming in and fawning over your work. This is what I need.
And so a lot of times, and the things that I've noticed in my world is that I wish I were better at this, but I really have no editor. I say what is on my mind, and I try. I really do. Like if I'm on an interview, like right in this moment, I can edit certain things because it's very, as a matter of fact, but if I'm going in and this is someone's livelihood, there is no editor. I can't watch you destroy you and destroy everyone around you who are going to take the dive to come and work for you or with you or your family who's supporting you or everybody because, and why do I take it to heart so much? It's because it's ultimately, it's what I fall in love with and I don't want to be heartbroken every time. And this industry is fickle enough that it's broken my heart a few times where I've fallen in love with designers who ended up not making it because they didn't listen. And so it's sort of it's a good thing for me to be able to go into a room and tell a designer and the team, this is what I think. Am I always right? Probably not. Are my intentions good in the way that I'm trying to describe it to people? Absolutely. In fact, I'm working with the Art Institute of Chicago right now to try and implement a class at the school where designers can be set up in a way that makes sense for them going into the world of fashion.
They have a better understanding of it.
Absolutely. And part of the message is the thing that I talk about all the time with designers one-on-one in the showrooms. And so, yes, that comment in the New York Times, which I still have not read the story, and
what,
a lot of
haven't?
People, no.
I
won't hear this interview either because I'll probably be petrified of listening to what I, for lack of better words, I sound like. But I hope that people, as they're listening to this, they know that in every industry you go into, you have to take risks, but you also have to be considerate of the risks that you take. And you have to be thoughtful. And if you're not, then you've thought of nothing except for yourself. And sometimes that's a harsh way to live.
You mentioned the industry being cutthroat. It's fickle. That it's curt. That, you know, there's not a lot of companionship in the way that, you know, you can make split decisions. And it's a very lofty business, and they're moving from trend to trend to trend, not unlike Hollywood or the music industry. How do you stay above that? How do you stay engaged? How do you stay passionate when there are those things in this industry that are difficult?
So I don't focus on those. I sort of weave right through them. It's a gift. I know I am 100% blessed in that ability to be able to just weave through it. But I'm also deeply emotional about this industry. Listen, like, you know, any industry where, you know, people come in and out and things change, except that there's such this, like, incredible deep movement right now towards fashion, but people don't understand that, especially millennials today, they don't understand that working in this industry, you actually have to put in the work, that it's okay to go and get your boss a cup of coffee, and it's okay to do it for 3-4 years in a row while observing what happened to that boss that got him to the level that they did. I always said that if I worked for Anna Wintour, who is really one of the most amazing people in the universe when it comes to really promoting young designers and people and really changing this industry, I would do anything to make her life easy, because removing that off her desk and for her to not have to think about the crazy that goes on around her will enable her to do so much more to benefit me and you and everyone else interested in this business. And so I always say, relax, you know. Work and work really hard and show your capability and grow the grass inside of you. Make it greener instead of you know, going off and running off from one place to another because you're unsettled. I think that's a really important thing for young people who are starting out in this business.
This business also has seen a lot, like you mentioned, I mean, people are attracted to it. There's a lot of people who want to make it even more mainstream. You see celebrities, musicians becoming fashion designers and adding their voice to the mix. As a spokesperson for the fashion industry on the editorial side, is that a good thing that there's interest from the Kanye Wests and the others that to be fashion designers to get into the mix?
And so I think that creative people are not confined to one process. And I think that when you're a creative person, your mind goes in different directions, and it's where does it gravitate? So, you know, if you're a Kanye West, for example, who's a phenomenal artist and a friend, and I have tremendous amount of respect for him, he loves fashion, not on the fashion level. He loves the feeling it produces for people. And so when he creates a fashion show and it's inside a stadium and it's a show, you are not buying the t-shirts and the shorts. You are buying
feeling,
into the
man.
Whole
yeah.
feeling.
That's interesting.
And so, you know, you bring him up as a perfect example of someone who can really expand on what they're doing now and for the future of the creative industry, whatever that may be.
You, on the editorial side, you are creative in what you choose. How do you keep yourself fulfilled? Is it all fashion? Is your life all fashion? Are you the kind of person who's like, I wake up and I'm at the store and I go home and I'm thinking store. It's all about the next designer.
It's really, really important for me to give back to the city. And so I do a lot of that in terms of being on boards in the city and really helping organizations like Erickson Institute, which I'm a trustee, Perspectives, which is a charter school program, and the School of the Art Institute, and Embark. So there are a lot of organizations that my husband and I really give back to 110%. And that for me, it doesn't really feed my soul in the way that I just want to give. It actually gives me the light of day every day. It's the notion that I actually woke up with my husband and we helped someone else out there. And then there's the creative outlet, which I constantly do with my children, whether we curate things in their life, their music, which we've been incredibly thoughtful about, or if we curate their trips where they go. So those are really important things for me. But then there's also the thing that I love, which is I love music, and I'm recording a song on the next Pink Martini album that's coming out later on in the year, and it's an Arabic song, and I speak fluent Arabic, and Thomas Lauderdale asked me if I would sing the song on their next album. And so it's really exciting to always find creative outlets other than the job you're doing, mm-hmm. no matter what it is you're doing. And as one of my employees said to me recently, which is ringing so deep and so true in my soul, and what he said was, what is it like to have the outlets and to really work very hard and to do them well? And my answer was, it's a choice.
Ikram Goldman, the store Ikram is celebrating its 15th anniversary this season. Vogue called you the first lady of fashion. Before we wrap up, I mean, it's 15 years. I mean, how long do you see yourself doing this? I mean, is this something that, you know, it's a rigorous job to go all over the world and talk to designers? And I mean, is it something that has a shelf life?
Assuming that I think it's a job, it probably would have a shelf life. But because I actually get to do the thing.